Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Well, perhaps some of you are wondering why we're singing the same hymn week in and week out. Well, repetition is a way of remembering. And so the intention in the series, we have been seeking to just be reminding each other, impressing upon our hearts the importance of the mission task, making disciples as Jesus had commanded. And so again this morning, another aspect of this, I invite you to turn to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. It would be great to read the entire chapter, but I'm not going to do that because of time. But won't you follow with me? Keep your Bible open because I am going to be referring to much of the chapter as we go through this. But I'm going to read from verse 23. So, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or charge them, so they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. And so, Father, as we turn to you in this message this morning, it is that we want to hear that which you have declared. Pray that we would be faithful, that I would be faithful to that which you have revealed. And Lord, not only in that which we say, but also that which we live out in response to your enduring and eternal word. And therefore, we know that it's not just a written word, but the living word that we look to this morning, our Lord Jesus, praying that your Spirit would be at work pointing us to Him, leading us to Him, and Lord, conforming us more and more to the likeness of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Very intentionally this morning, focusing on this theme, and wanting to do so, reminding each other. Most of us evangelicals, of course, understand the important task of missions. But we need to, again and again, challenge one another. Tim challenged us this morning in terms of our zeal in singing. Our zeal in living out and being faithful to the Lord, which includes facing this task unfinished. And so my intention in this message is to remind us, perhaps to challenge us, to perhaps even teach us this morning to be better equipped on how we ought to proceed in this task that God has given us of making disciples. And as I was going through my notes this morning, I thought to myself, I need to change that. Making true disciples. Making true disciples of the nations, or even as we have called it in this church very often, it is for us, in response to Jesus, to impact the world. I remember I was a youth leader many, many years ago in the 70s. And we gathered our young people together. We went across to one of the big mega churches that was developing in the city of Johannesburg. And I remember us having to be there early because there were so many people that were going to attend that particular meeting. Well, the meeting unfolded. We did do some singing, and then eventually the speaker came on stage and he proceeded. He was a very strong man. Obviously did a lot of bodybuilding. And this strong man spent his entire time on the stage ripping telephone directories in half. I don't know if any of you remember that particular season in evangelical circles. And so one after the other, he would show us his power because he could rip telephone directories in half. And I was still waiting for him to open up the Bible, but he ended up the service. But then he invited people to come to Jesus. Well, there are many ideas, programs, initiatives, and projects that are underway in the world with the definite intention of impacting the world. Some of these ideas, I would think, are useful. Some of the programs, initiatives, and projects are better than others, and I hope that you would agree with that. However, our interest at Central Baptist Church, and even extending beyond that, ought to be, my first point this morning, God's way of impacting the world. I want to illustrate why I want to be so specific and particular this morning regarding the method that we use. Why we must invest money, our lives, why we ought to give ourselves to God's way of investing, at least impacting the world. So for the children this morning, we had two children's talks, and forgive me for that. And I tried to blow this balloon up beforehand, but it popped when I put it underneath the pulpit. So I'm going to have to do it now. So boys and girls, this is for you, but in truth, it's actually for your parents, so that they can understand. Very important lesson. Now, none of you can see this, but there's actually a treasure inside this balloon. But of course, I can't access that treasure. It's a 20 rand note. But I have brought my little pouch with me, and I have all sorts of instruments. This is the point I'm wanting to make, all sorts of instruments. There are those people among us in the world that will say, well, we ought to be gentle in our approach. And so I have some cotton wool. And I thought maybe if I stroke this balloon very gently, I might be able to access, the balloon might be kind enough to give me the treasure inside. There are the other people who think, well, all you need is a bit of energy. Let's turn up the volume. And so we get the battery, and perhaps the battery, rightly applied to the balloon, will give me access to this treasure. And then, of course, some logic prevails and knows that we need something a little bit more appropriate. So how about a pencil and even the lead side of the pencil? And I'm pushing an indent over there and nothing is happening. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to stop all my different tricks, but I've got one more instrument. The safety pin. What's my point? There's an everyday principle. An everyday principle, and it is this. To accomplish a given task effectively, the right instrument has got to be used. That's the message I want to bring this morning. My point is simply that unless the right instrument is used, the desired impact will not be made. And so impacting the world by using the right instrument is what I want us to consider. And right up front, to say that nothing other than making use of the designated God-given instrument will have any, and very important words, lasting impact, enduring impact, eternal impact on the world. And I'm not just speaking in terms of making a disciple and converting somebody from being a Muslim to a Christian. I'm speaking about the ongoing change in a person's life being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Verse 29 of Jeremiah 23, I believe, is a clear revelation to us of what God wants us to use in ministry as we go about this work here in Pretoria, but even to the ends of the earth. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? You see, the analogy is clear. You need fire to melt ice. You need a hammer to break that which is hard. And we know that we, in our natural state as believers, and even after we are converted, the heart can be cold. The heart can be hard. It needs the God-given instrument to melt it, to smash it, to crush it, to replace it with a tender heart toward God. We have the Apostle Paul telling us right at the beginning of the book of Romans chapter 2 that men and women have a natural disposition of hardness toward God. He says, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And so this task that remains unfinished, not only for Darren in South America or H&A in North Africa, but for us in Pretoria as we go about our lives, nothing other than the most powerful instrument in the hands of the servants will be able to crush or melt a heart, an impenitent heart. We must make use of the hammer and the fire. And it's what Jesus commanded, even in the task of sending his disciples into the world. We know it so well. Matthew 28, we focus on the first half. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And I am with you always. The Word of God, the revelation of God, that which God has declared must be a priority, must be an emphasis, it must be that which we submit to. We find the Apostle Paul writing to young Pastor Timothy, and he makes the same point. He refers him how from childhood you've been acquainted with sacred writings, the revelation of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, conversion and sanctification to ultimate consummation, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped. And then as he continues in that same letter, he writes to Timothy and he says, not only you, Timothy, but others, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And then a little later in the same book, he tells him, in case you've forgotten, Timothy, listen to this. God has a designated tool. Preach the word. In season. Be ready in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And not only Paul, also Peter, and it also ought to be us, how we ought to understand how indispensable the Word of God is in ministry that must be done. 1 Peter chapter 1, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And so the impact of the Word of God, the instrument including all of Scripture, all that He has done, all that He said of Himself, of ourselves as sinful people, creation and fall and redemption and consummation, all of the good news of God, culminating in the work of Jesus. Paul focusing on that, again reminding the Corinthians, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12." God's Word is like fire, it's like a hammer, breaking the hard hearts of men and women. It is the appropriate designated instrument. Not my idea, not a Baptistic idea, not an evangelical idea. It is God's idea. Jeremiah 23:29, it's God speaking. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" What is the context of this statement this morning? Well, God asks this question about His word. He does so through the prophet Jeremiah in a day and context where His servants... This is important that we see this. He's speaking to those who claim to be His faithful servants, the prophets and the priests. But they had taken on instruments of their own choosing. And so therefore my second point, not God's way of impacting the world, man's way of impacting the world. This to me reads like 2024. But this is the book of Jeremiah. Now, prophets, God raised them up. They were part of the very fabric of ministry down through the life of Israel and the work that they did. They were, by definition, those who spoke for and in behalf of God. That was what the prophet was supposed to do. Yet in this passage, Jeremiah 29, God exposes their work as straw. Now get the comparison here. On the one hand, we're talking about fire and a hammer. On the other hand, we're talking about straw. If we go back to the balloon, on the one hand, you're speaking about cotton wool. On the other hand, you're speaking about a pin. Verse 28, "Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord." Now it's important for us to see that these prophets, it's not that they weren't speaking. They were standing, if you like, in our context, we would say, in their pulpits. It's not that they're not active. They were probably going out throughout the week in some sort of program and project and committee. They were active. And it's sadly true also that it's not that they were not influencing people. Influencing people to their detriment, to their destruction. And it's not as if they don't identify themselves as God's servants. They are speaking, they're active, they're influencing. Doing so, neglecting and ignoring God, chartering their own course, independent of God. Dear friends, we need to be aware of this also. It's not just a question of what do others think, or how many people are coming to a church, or how successful a particular movement looks. The important thing, as Paul indicates very clearly in the book of Corinthians, is that each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it. God will expose that which we have done. God will expose how you have conducted yourself as one who claims to be a believer, and as I have conducted myself. And he says here, for each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. The straw will be consumed. You see, stroking a balloon with an earbud, that was one of the other things I had in my pouch, does not accomplish the intended purpose. Nothing other than God's designated instrument. But I want to consider now this passage. If you look at the Bible, the passage, chapter 23, we're going to work backwards. And I'm just going to mention things because, of course, one could spend a lot of time on this. Stroking the world using useless instruments. And perhaps we could say they're stroking your life, hoping that God would be at work through the use of useless instruments. Jeremiah chapter 23, if we go from 29, verse 29 backwards, we're going to get a sense of the useless and harmful ministry by supposed servants of God. Number one, the ministry leads people away from the one true God. Dear friends, we're not looking simply to lead people into religion. We are seeking to lead people to Jesus, and even as we say in our statement as a church, to love God, to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What did these people do? Verse 27. Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, and they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name, for Baal. Offering an alternative religion. Secondly, their ministry is nothing more than a pack of lies. Verse 26. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Altar this morning showed us very clearly. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, it actually begins with shepherds who are false shepherds. They're bound in our own day. Pack of lies. Drawing attention to themselves and not pointing to Jesus. Their ministry is a fabrication of their own imagination. Verse 25. I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, making claims that are of their imagination. Their ministry does not lead people to repentance. Verse 22. If they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from the evil way and from the evil of their deeds. If we don't point people to the ways of God, how can they turn to the ways of God? The ministry has not been commissioned by God. Chapter 23, verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. Their ministry undermines God's truth to make people feel safe. They say continually, verse 17, to those who despise the word of God, it shall be well with you, lulling people into a false sense of security. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, don't worry, no disaster will come upon you. Just have a check on YouTube at some of the ministries that are so popular with celebrity leaders, and you'll see this kind of message gushing forth, deceiving people, leading them to destruction and to fall under the wrath of God. The ministry, and I've lost count, their ministry gives people false hope. Verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. And very sadly, their ministry can be described as them being champions who are immoral liars. Verse 14, but in the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. all of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. And then just one further comment, their ministry is permeated with idolatry. The worshipping of false gods. Verse 13. In the prophets of Samaria, I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. Is that a one-off experience? Has anything changed in terms of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness? Has anything changed with respect to Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light in our own day? Has anything changed in that he seeks to be like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? It's disturbing. But again, the one thing we learn from history is we learn nothing from history. Jeremiah reveals how disturbing this kind of service is to God. It's God whom we must please, not people. It's God whom we must please. God does not, He will not tolerate man's way of doing ministry. Have a look at verse 9. I'm going to read a couple of verses concerning the prophets. Listen now, Jeremiah, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because the Lord and because of His holy words. The land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land mourns and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil. Their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. And folk, I'm preaching to myself as a pastor here this morning. We ought to examine our lives. Both priest and prophet are ungodly. Even in my house I found their evil, declares the Lord. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall. For I will bring disaster upon them in the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. Quite a tough message this morning. There will never be the God-intended impact, a gospel God-intended impact, whether it be in missions, local ministry, or our personal sanctification, unless the designated God-given instrument is the primary tool used by the missionary, or the pastor, or the elder, or the deacon, or the member. Which leads me to my third point, which is my conclusion. What are the implications? How do we go forward? Facing the unfinished task of missions must be done God's way, even if it's against the flow. Those who are here, Pretoria, those who are far away, the ends of the earth, must take up God's designated instrument. Now there's some implications for you and I. Number one, be courageous. We must have the courage to hold each ministry leader and member and missionary at home and those that we send accountable. Are they using the God-designated instrument? Is that a priority in their ministry? You see, any so-called good work, whether it be feeding the hungry, whether it be bringing relief to those who are in crisis, in some sort of natural disaster, whether it be in a context of disease, anything that stops short of teaching and proclaiming the Word of God is not gospel ministry. It's not missions. You can talk about God, you can talk about love, you can talk about peace and mercy. It's not good enough. Those we send, those we support. Now remember, I'm speaking about courage. They must talk about the holiness of God. They must speak about the sinfulness of man and the wrath of God and the gift of salvation and the requirement of repentance and of faith. Think of the consequences. While people, naturally speaking, are under the wrath and condemnation of God, Our interest cannot be tourist attractions. It cannot be. Or climatic conditions of another place in the world, as interesting as that might be. Our interest must be in the hammer and the fire, smashing and melting hard hearts. So number one, Central Baptist Church, be courageous. Number two, this is the harder one, be discerning. The label, missions, or missionary, that a person claims is not adequate in assessing whether someone ought to be supported or not. Sadly, both terms, mission and missionary, have become unhelpfully broad. Sometimes it includes those who are really wanting to do tourism under the guise of ministry, on the one hand. On the other hand, there are those who are prepared to die for the gospel. Those are the ones we want to support. Many say they are called to go. Many say they are believers. But forget about the hammer. Be discerning. Be discerning. Are you discerning in your own life, in those that you stand alongside of? And so before we get on board with anyone claiming to have a missions interest, that's why we have a missions committee, that's why we have someone designated on the missions committee to walk with a prospective candidate or candidates. We want to be sure, we want to see, is this person driven by the gospel, the love of Christ constraining them using the God-designated tool? Number three, be generous. Where there are men and women who go and use the God-designated instrument in their hand and have it in their heart, let's get behind them. Boots and all. We want to support them. We want to pray for them. We want to do anything we can. Let's stretch ourselves as a church. Let's push our budget to support these ambassadors of the gospel. Over and above, and we know that there's always these various opportunities to give generously. I would say over and above church giving, we as individuals should invest in those who produce fruit that lasts. My last implication, be dependent. You see, if we have some insight into the hardness of a man or woman's heart toward God, we'll know that unless God intervenes and works, all will be in vain. We have to pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to use the Word to melt hard hearts. Pray for the person using that designated instrument, that all may be go well with them in the work that they do. And so, folk, in my conclusion this morning, may God help us to be faithful in taking the hammer, in taking up the fire to impact the world in the task which is unfinished. That people may know Him, Jesus, that He may be exalted among the nations, that they may be able to flee from the coming wrath. And so, Lord, we pray to this end. May Your Word burn within our hearts. May we not be able to, Lord, minister apart from loving Your Word, receiving Your Word, knowing Your Word, sharing this Word. But, Lord, not just as the Pharisees building knowledge in our heads, but, Lord, that our own hearts would be tender toward You. That our own hearts, Lord, would be melting in our own love and devotion to You. Help us as a church, Lord. Please help us as we go forward in this city, but even as we seek to reach nations to the ends of the earth, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.